You, sir, are teaching me how the treble and the bass are in accord with one another, and how, though the strings produce different notes, the result is a harmony. Rather, bring my soul into harmony with itself, and let not my purposes be out of tune. You are showing me what the doleful keys are. Show me rather how, in the midst of adversity, I may keep from uttering a doleful note. The mathematician teaches me how to lay out the dimensions of my estates. But I should rather be taught how to lay out what is enough for a man to own. He teaches me to count and adapts my fingers to avarice. But I should prefer him to teach me that there is no point in such calculations, and that one is none the happier for tiring out the bookkeepers with his possessions. Or, rather, how useless property is to any man who would find it the greatest misfortune if he should be required to reckon out, by his own wits, the amount of his holdings. What good is there for me in knowing how to parcel out a piece of land, if I know not how to share it with my brother? What good is there in working out to a nicety the dimensions of an acre, and in detecting the error if a piece has so much as escaped my measuring rod, if I am embittered when an ill-tempered neighbor merely scrapes off a piece of my land? The mathematician teaches me how I may lose none of my boundaries. I, however, seek to learn how to lose them all with a light heart. But, comes the reply, I am being driven from the farm which my father and grandfather owned. Well, who owned the land before your grandfather? Can you explain what people, I will not say what person, held it originally? You did not enter upon it as a master, but merely as a tenant. And whose tenant are you? If your claim is successful, you are tenant of the heir. The lawyers say that public property cannot be acquired privately by possession. What you hold and call your own is public property. Indeed, it belongs to mankind at large. Oh, what marvelous skill! You know how to measure the circle. You find the square of any shape which is set before you. You compute the distances between the stars. There is nothing which does not come within the scope of your calculations. But if you are a real master of your profession, measure me the mind of man. Tell me how great it is, or how puny. You know what a straight line is, but how does it benefit you if you do not know what is straight in this life of ours? I come next to the person who boasts his knowledge of the heavenly bodies. Who knows whither the chilling star of Saturn hides, and through what orbit Mercury doth stray? Of what benefit will it be to know this, that I shall be disturbed because Saturn and Mars are in opposition, or when Mercury sets at eventide in plain view of Saturn, rather than learn that those stars, wherever they are propitious, and that they are not subject to change? They are driven along by an unending round of destiny on a course from which they cannot swerve. They return at stated seasons. They either set in motion or mark the intervals of the whole world's work. But if they are responsible for whatever happens, how will it help you to know the secrets of the immutable? Or, if they merely give indications, what good is there in foreseeing what you cannot escape. Whether you know these things or not, they will take place. Behold the fleeting sun, the stars that follow in his train, and thou shalt never find the morrow play thee false, or be misled by nights without a cloud. It has, however, been sufficiently and fully ordained that I shall be safe from anything that may mislead me. What, you say? Does the morrow never play me false? Whatever happens without my knowledge plays me false. I, for my part, do not know what is to be, but I do know what may come to be. I shall have no misgivings in this matter. I await the future in its entirety. And if there is any abatement in its severity, I make the most of it. If the morrow treats me kindly, it is a sort of deception, but it does not deceive me even at that. For just as I know that all things can happen, so I know too that they will not happen in every case. I am ready for favorable events in every case, but I am prepared for evil. In this discussion, you must bear with me if I do not follow the regular course, for I do not consent to admit painting into the list of liberal arts, any more than sculpture, marble working, and other helps toward luxury. I also debar from the liberal studies wrestling and all knowledge that is compounded of oil and mud. Otherwise, I should be compelled to admit perfumers also, and cooks, and all others who lend their wits to the service of our pleasures. For what liberal element is there in these ravenous takers of emetics, whose bodies are fed to fatness while their minds are thin and dull? Or do we really believe that the training which they give is liberal for the young men of Rome, who used to be taught by our ancestors to stand straight and hurl a spear, to wield a pike, to guide a horse, and to handle weapons? Our ancestors used to teach their children nothing that could be learned while lying down. But neither the new system nor the old teaches or nourishes virtue. For what good does it